John chapter 5, and we're going to begin with the verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. He'd had an infirmity, the King James, for 38 years, an inability to produce results. Verse number 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been there a long time. Everybody say a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one. I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once, immediately, the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, that was the Sabbath. Let's pray over the reading of the Word. Father God, we thank you for your Word tonight. We thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. And we declare nothing is impossible tonight because you're here. And we are asking, Lord, that you send a revival. Lord, those of us that have become complacent and those of us that have become lazy in our walk with the Lord and those of us that have lost our thirst and our hunger, I pray, Lord, that you'll pour it out tonight on us, on all flesh. Lord, that we might draw closer to you. We need a revival. Lord, begin it here with us tonight. And I pray, Lord, that those that cannot, that tonight they will leave with a different viewpoint. They'll know that you have touched them and they can now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. I need your help tonight. I love you with all of my heart. And we lift you up in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, tell your neighbor God's bigger than your biggest need and you can be seated, all right? God's bigger than your biggest need and you can be seated. This place called Bethesda, if we want to understand a little bit about it, there was a pool of water there. And there were 5 porches. My understanding is these were at different levels. And so there was a multitude of people that would lay there because this place called Bethesda was like a place known for healing. And we might even say, it almost sounds when I read the story like the healing lottery. If you're lucky enough to get in the water, when the angel stirs the water, you'll be healed. But Jesus comes to this man that had been an invalid a long time. He'd been infirmed a long time. He'd been in his condition a long time. And he said, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." In verse number 10, the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." And I find that really interesting because there are people that are more interested in their rules and their regulations than people getting their needs met. Like, if you don't do it my way, God can't do it. But I'll tell you what, God is not in your box. But the man, he answered and said, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and as there was a crowd in the place afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Sin no more. Now notice something here that Jesus did not say, "Hey, go ahead and sin a little bit more, I got you covered." I think that Jesus indicated there that sin was very dangerous. And I think in our religious world, there are preachers that act like sin is not a big thing. But if you read your Bible, the King James uses the word sin over 150 times in the New Testament alone, not including the word sinner or sinneth. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but thank God he didn't stop there. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we know that when Jesus was coming down the road, when John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." If sin were no big deal, then Jesus did not need to come. And then we find over in 1 John that it says, "He that commits sin is of his father, the devil." So I'm pretty sure that sin is more dangerous than a lot of us think, because a lot of us play around with it like there's no problem. How many understand that sin would not be so attractive if you had to pay the wages immediately? See, most people think, "I'll get by with it, and then I'll get by with it a little bit more. I'll get by with it, and, you know, it's like borrowing something that's not yours. I'm going to borrow it and put it back," and most people never put it back. You cannot borrow what is not yours. Are you understanding me? And not put it back. But yet we know something here that I believe, I'm going to say it again, sin would not be so attractive if you had to pay the wages immediately. So I'm pretty sure Jesus indicates there that there is something worse to this man that had been sick for 38 years. This man who'd been an invalid for 38 years, paralyzed 38 years. How many understand all that could be worse than being paralyzed, an invalid, or sick for 38 years? Going to hell would be worse. The man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. He said, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." Now, 38 years, he's an invalid. Paralyzed, he's poor. It became a way of life to him. He became hopeless. And he's thinking to himself, "Nothing can be done now. It's been a long time." Now, I know that my dad is 86 years old, and I was going to preach at a church, and the church is full of old people, okay? Thank God for old people. All right, whatever. I'm using that scripture, "Whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord." I'm getting older. Told me I'm getting older. I felt you're hurting my feelings, Tommy. But I was talking to my dad, and he said, "Oh, you're going to that church?" He said, "There's a lot of old people in that church." He's 86. He said, "Now, Doug, you know, in an old people's church, you're not going to get too many of those people to come to the altar unless you have a healing line for corns and bunions." He said, "Because, Doug, by the time you're my age, you know, whatever you got, you just decide you're going to live with it." Because that's the way it is. This man had been this way for 38 years. He's thinking, "Now I'm going to live like this." And sometimes we are bound for so long, it becomes normal to us. That this is the way it's going to be. I'm laying on my bed for 38 years. I'm an invalid. I'm paralyzed. All these things. But you know, in America, we have tried to change this Bible, and we try to make things different, and we try make things normal. And I will tell you that you can't get delivered from what you think is normal. When you get to that point and say, "This is how it is supposed to be," you cannot get delivered. But tonight, some of us here are not paralyzed on our bed, but we are paralyzed by another condition. We might be incapable of movement. We have sickness. We have lack. We have a problem. We have a fear. We have an infirmity. We have an inability to produce results. Life has thrown us a curve. We got something we didn't expect. And life experiences have jaded us. And I think about this man. He started there 38 years. He's been in that condition. And I'm sure he's been at that pool a long time. And maybe he started at the top, the furthest from the water. But, you know, when somebody dies or somebody gets healed, he got to move up a little closer in line. And he gets closer and closer to that water. And I wonder how many times he was this close to his miracle. When the waters were stirred, I wonder how many times he was just almost there to get his miracle and he missed it. I wonder how many times that we've come to Fountain of Life or a service, a revival, or a meeting in some church, and we were this close to our miracle and we missed out on a God moment. I wonder how many times if we prayed a bit more or we would have stayed in his presence a little bit longer. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. I wonder how many of us gave up just this much too early. I wonder how many God moments have passed us by. This man, he's there, right there. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? He said, I have no man. He almost misses his God moment. He's at Bethesda. The word Bethesda means place of mercy. Do you realize that when people drive by Fountain of Life, that they ought to understand that this is a place of mercy? Are you understanding me? So many of us are at the place of mercy, and we still miss out on our miracle. Listen tonight. I hear the Lord saying tonight that this is a time of transition, that you go tonight from one condition to another, that something is changing in the heavenly realm. The atmosphere is changing on your behalf. I hear the Lord saying this is the time of transition. Jesus says to this man, do you want to be healed? His answer is, I cannot. That's interesting. He says, I cannot, I have no man. Now, he had his excuses. And I'm thinking about this 38 years. He says, I have no man. 38 years. Now, I'm pretty sure that you cannot live without water and food for 38 years. So somebody's helping him. But he says, I have no man. And I think at times we come into the house of God and we have our excuses. This man, how did he eat and drink for 38 years? He was too poor to pay somebody to help him in the water, but he said, I have no man. Now, I want to make it real clear tonight, man is not your source. So tonight, if it's healing you need, he is your healer. If it's finances you need, he is the one that gives you power to get wealth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the gold and the silver are his. God is our source tonight. But if we sit around and wait till we get all of our issues fixed, we're never going to get up. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we all have issues. But I believe the Lord is speaking to us. Get up, take up your bed and walk tonight. Get up if you've been paralyzed in your condition. He's saying get up because this is the day of transition. Get up. But now what I like about Jesus is he ignores this man's response by grace. The man says, I cannot, I have no man. And Jesus blesses him in spite of himself. How many know God has blessed most of us in spite of ourselves? Most of us have not got what we deserved. Are you understanding that? When nothing else could help, love lifted us up. Amen? Thank God. But I think this man, he said, I can't. I have no man. But how many know when you read this Bible right here, when you read this Bible, God used a lot of I cannot people. People that said, I cannot. People that had their reasons. People that that others had disqualified. But God is the one that does the qualifying. God used a lot of I cannot people. Do you understand? God used a man by the name of Noah who got drunk. He was an I cannot person. Abraham, he was another I cannot. I'm too old. I don't know what your excuse is, but I'm going to tell you, he went from an I cannot person to the father of many nations. Are you hearing me? We know about Moses. He was another I cannot person. He stuttered. I don't know what your condition is, but we know about Rahab. She was a prostitute. She could not. And David was an adulterer and a murderer. And Jonah ran from God. And even the disciples, when they were to feed the multitude, they said, we don't have enough money and we don't have enough food. But there was a little boy with a little lunch. And I'm here to tell you something. I believe God can use some I cannot people. Saul persecuted Christians, and yet he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I believe it is time that we get up and do what we could not do before. See, listen to me tonight. When Jesus shows up, he empowers you to do what you could not do before. When Jesus shows up. Now, I'm sure this man, 38 years, had been at that place. And you know, when people get around other people, everybody has their advice. You know, Lori's father hung out with him a little bit in Florida. We go down, he lived in a, her father passed away a couple of months ago, but he lived in Florida in the summer and in the winter. No, in the winter in Florida and the summer in Michigan. And down in Florida, he lived in a retirement village in a condominium. That's a trailer house. All right? And you'd go down to the pool with all the old folks. Or you could play shuffleboard. You get around those folks, and one of them have an ailment. Oh, I used to have one like that, but I started doing this. I used to have a problem like that, but I went to such and such doctor. I took this pill. You ought to try this exercise. All these things. They had their advice. So I'm sure that after 38 years, he'd heard all the advice. One of them said, you know, I think if you'd have a more positive mental attitude, that you would be able to be the first one in the pool. I think you ought to get up every day and say, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. He tried that, and I'm sure it didn't work. And he tried depending on others. And I'm sure he said, hey, look, you know, we're both pretty poor. But you got a little bit more mobility than me. Maybe you can push me in, and then I'll stick around once I'm healed, and I'll push you in. They agreed to it, and I'm sure that guy, when the water stirred, he jumped right over this man of 38 years that had been sick and beat him into the pool. He tried depending on others, and that didn't work. And he tried in his own strength, and that failed. But I'm going to tell you something. In Jesus' name, in his strength and his grace, I believe that there's some people that are I cannot people, that you're about to see what you couldn't see before and achieve what you couldn't achieve before and conquer what you couldn't conquer before and accomplish what you couldn't accomplish before by his strength, his grace, and his mercy. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Now listen to me. You failed in your own strength. You cannot. You failed with trying to get help from others. They can't. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, he can. Everything changes when Jesus shows up. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm going to tell you, I have seen the darkest things happen in my life. But when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Everything changes. What you couldn't do before and what you couldn't see before and what you couldn't achieve before and what you could, no one would help you with before, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of us. He is here tonight. And I'm going to tell you, something changes when he shows up. I was down in Marlow, Oklahoma recently, and we're having revival services, and there was an older lady that came to the front in her 70s, and I went to pray for her, and she's kind of eyeballing me a little bit, and I started eyeballing her back, you know, and I didn't know what her deal was, but I just prayed a little bit, and she grabbed my hand. She said, I believe that you're going to pray with me till I get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. How many know what the Word of God says? He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus was there that night. That woman had been in church for many, many years wanting to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that night, she changed from I cannot to I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I know tonight they said to this man, the religious people, they said, who's the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Who is this man? I will tell you tonight, he's the man that turned the water into wine. He's the one that healed the multitudes. He's the one that provided for the hungry. He's the one that raised the dead. According to the Word of God, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. An angel said, this same Jesus is coming back in the same way that he left. Thank God that this man's blood was shed for you. His blood cleanses. His blood heals. His blood sanctifies. His blood reconciles. His blood blesses us. His blood sets us free. And it reaches to the lowest valley and to the highest mountain. And that blood has never lost its power. If you believe it tonight, say amen. It lifts your burdens tonight. One drop of His precious blood can remove the scars and pain of the whole world. One prayer in His holy name can bring can grant eternal salvation. How many know there is no God like our God tonight? Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I think tonight some of us need to remember who He is. They were asking Him, who is this man? We need to remind ourselves who He is. And I think we need to remember what He's done for us. I don't know about you, but I get joy when I think about what He's done for me. He said to him, stand up. Pick up your bed and walk. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, when you're told to stand up, He spoke to you. In Ezekiel 2:1, He said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet and I will speak unto thee. I believe God is speaking to us tonight. Some of us need to stand up so He speaks to us. But in the New Testament, when Peter stood and preached, the 11 stood with him. And he spoke as the oracles of God. He spoke as if the Lord was ministering through him. And that day 3,000 were saved and 3,000 filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. Tonight, I believe God is telling you to stand up, to speak to you. And when you stand up and He speaks to you, He will speak through you. You realize that there are people that are in your sphere of influence, in your family, in your atmosphere, in your workplace, that there are people that are waiting on you to prophesy and speak to your atmosphere. There are people waiting for you to step in and speak a word from God. In the last days, the Word of God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I declare tonight that the Word of God is in our young people's mouth, and I believe there's a generation rising up that they don't need the alcohol and they don't need the drugs and they don't need all the partying, but they'll rise up with the Word of God in their mouth saying, thus saith the Lord, get off your alcohol and drugs and turn to Jesus. Get off your mat. Pick up your bed. You realize that God wants to speak to you and through you. That mat represented where that man lived. When He said to him, pick up your mat and walk. He didn't just say walk. He said, pick up your mat. That mat represented where he lived. That was his address. He said, pick up your mat. And I think he was saying, I don't want you to leave it there. I don't want you to leave it lying there. I think tonight God is speaking to some of you that it's time for you to pick up your bed and walk, that you pick up your mat and walk, that tonight some of you got to understand that you need to pick up that mat because He doesn't want you to go back to that old place anymore. Your old ways, your old friends, and your old habits. I know we don't preach this anymore, but the Word of God still says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. I know the Word of God says, avoid the very appearance of evil. It said, remember not the former things. And it says, bad company corrupts good morals. Some of us need to pick up our mat and not go back to those places anymore. Some of you do some good if you just delete some folk off Facebook. Folks, I don't have any problem deleting people off of Facebook. If you say something ugly about me, delete. Gone. If you have no sense of humor and you harass me, gone. Because some things I think is funny. I don't know if I've ever told this, but I was out in western Oklahoma, okay? Well, I was in West Texas driving back to Tulsa. It was Valentine's Day of all days. I'm by myself, and I stop on the I-40 in Sayre, Oklahoma, okay? There's nothing there on the highway but a little truck stop. I got to go to the restroom, all right? So I get out, go in the restroom. It's a big restroom, but there's only one man in the restroom. Now, men, we don't look at each other in the restroom. If you don't know this, your dad didn't teach you anything. So I noticed a man there, but I didn't really look. I noticed a man with a big cowboy hat on, like a Hoss Cartwright size hat. So I'm doing minding my own business. Almost messed up there. And I'm over on this one side. He's down on the other end. And all of a sudden, I mean, nobody's in there. But I hear this voice. Hey, you having a good Valentine's Day? Man, I looked straight ahead. You know, I don't know what you women do. You go to the restroom in groups. We go by ourselves. I don't need help. So I'm thinking, surely this guy is talking on his headset and not talking to me. But I kind of, you know, break the rule. I kind of look over. And he goes, yeah, you having a good Valentine's Day? Very nervously, I said, yeah, and I left without washing my hands. I put that on Facebook. I thought it was kind of funny, you know, and I didn't talk about everything, but there's people that said, oh, you missed an opportunity to witness. I don't know about you, but when I'm doing my business, I don't go about his business. I probably shouldn't have told this story. I was preaching pretty good until I got to this. And then another person, you know, said, oh, that was an angel and God brought him into your life. I got a few things to say, but I'm not even that bold anymore. If I was in my 20s, I'd say what I want. I just deleted both those people and went on with life. Because, you know, some of us think, oh, these are my good friends. If they're not coming to your funeral, then don't worry about what they think. Some of you need to block your old girlfriend's number. Some of you need to throw away some pictures. Come on. And don't leave a trail . Maybe I shouldn't talk about that truck stop experience. Everybody say whatever, come on. But don't leave a trail so you can find your way back. He said to that man, pick up your bed and walk. And I think a lot of people, that come to the altar would do themselves some good if you realize that when you come to the altar, old things pass away, all things become new. I don't go back the same way as I came. I leave different. I've been changed. I've been washed, but I have got to make an effort, and I got to say no to some things in this world. Don't hang out in the old neighborhood. To go to a different level, you can't continue to do what you've been doing. You got to let some things go. See, I believe when he picked up that bed, he was telling the world, I don't live here anymore. I don't live there anymore. See, we ought to burn a few bridges. See, when trouble starts looking for you and when habits start looking for you and issues start looking for you, they won't be able to find you because you live in a new blessed place. Pain is being left behind. You're saying, devil, I don't live here anymore. I picked up my mat. See, heaven and hell, when that man picked up his mat and knew that his address had changed. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe tonight in this altar, when some of you come to this altar, heaven and hell are going to know that your address has changed. And you may have come in with heart problems. You may have come in with sugar diabetes. You may have come in with job problems, family problems, issues galore. I don't know what they are, but tonight when you come to this altar, you're telling heaven and hell, I don't live at that address anymore. I'm going home different than I came because Jesus has touched me. Pick up your bed and walk. When he told him to pick up his mat and walk, he was saying, this is the last time you're ever going to be paralyzed and broke down. Pick up your bed and walk. You realize tonight God is speaking to us. And I believe that there's changes that need to be made, but God is speaking to us and we've used our excuses. I don't understand why we sit around and we use them over and over when Jesus, if we really believe he's here, we ought to be obedient. He said, the willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. Do we believe that? Everybody stand to your feet. I got more to preach, but I'm going to leave it alone. Jesus said to the man, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Tonight, I think we talk about sin and we have a tendency to think sin is only big things, but it can be big things. It can be those Ten Commandments, but it can be other things as well. But there are people tonight, you got sin in your life. God's speaking to your heart tonight. He's speaking to you, pick up your mat and leave that sin behind. Tonight's the night we ought to just get rid of the sin in the house, get rid of the sin in our life, the compromise, the disobedience. We need to get rid of it. God's speaking to us.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me, it caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say, thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or till you hear us next time, God bless, and go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.